The University of Georgia Griffin campus invites you to join us for news and information about the many and varied programs and activities at the UGA Griffin campus. Information about gardening, the agriculture programs, and your UGA degree at the University of Georgia Griffin campus. Your UGA degree is closer than you think. This program is made possible by Frank and Carolyn Harris of Round Oak Resources Tree Farm and Murray & Company Realtors. Listen each Thursday at 9 o'clock a.m. for the UGA Griffin Campus News. This program is produced by WKEU AM 1450 and 102.3 FM and The Rock 88.9 FM and streamed live on our website, WKEUradio.com. Join us now with our guests from the UGA Griffin Campus.
And good morning and welcome to this week's installment of the University of Georgia Griffin Campus News. I'm your host, WKEU AM and FM Sports Director Tony Brasky, and we're going to discuss today the University of Georgia Griffin ambassadors. To help us do that, we are being joined remotely this morning by Deanna Biggio, who is a Griffin ambassador and a graduate student. She's going after a degree in horticulture on the UGA Griffin campus. Fellow student Anna Lawson, also an ambassador and seeking a Bachelor of Science degree in microbiology. It's also in Miss Faye Chapman's department. And speaking of Faye Chapman, she is joining us as well. She is the program director for the Franklin College of Arts and Sciences at UGA Griffin. Ladies, thank you for being here. Deanna, thank you especially for being able to join us remotely.
Yeah, not a problem.
So it's a pleasure to have you with us. And let's get some introductions in. Deanna, we'll start with you since you'll be joining us remotely. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how it came to be that you landed on the UGA Griffin campus.
My advisor offered me like a student research position in the greenhouse that we had on campus. We were growing hemp, by the way. I really enjoyed doing that, and I actually did my thesis on hemp, so I decided I wanted to continue in horticulture. And in order to do that, I needed like a better education, so I'm pursuing a master's in horticulture, and that ended up leading me down here to Georgia.
Now, what have you found at the UGA Griffin campus that is to your liking, and is there anything about the state of Georgia that you would like to change that you've seen so far?
I mean, honestly, when I came down here, and I actually came down here to Griffin, and then I went to Athens, like, the following day, and I was like, whoa, Athens is, like, amazing and big and, like, really cool, but as, like, time has gone on and I've like done my work, like I just finished doing my research for this year, I actually like how small and like how kind of homey, for lack of a better term, the Griffin campus is. It definitely is a lot easier to focus on my work, and everyone here is just absolutely wonderful, and I feel like I have a family here.
Well, you know, that's a word that we like to use all the time when associating the student population with the UGA Griffin campus is family. Have you found that to be the case?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And now for Anna Lawson. Anna, tell us a little bit about yourself, you know, your academic background and how you landed at UGA Griffin and what you're studying.
So I am actually originally from Tifton, Georgia.
So you could have stayed home and gone to a campus.
I could have. The campus here really drew me to it because of the research opportunities. So I plan to get a PhD in neuroscience, an MD, PhD. And the research opportunities offered at the UGA Griffin campus just really outshine a lot of the opportunities offered at almost every other campus in the state of Georgia. You get a great deal. And like Deanna said, it's a very familial atmosphere. It's very close. And so I really enjoy that. It helps you to not only focus on what it is that you're researching and studying, it helps to prepare you for your future in the research field, probably more so than a lot of other campuses do.
Well, being from Tifton, we found out that Deanna found out from her professors about the UGA Griffin campus. How did you become aware of its presence?
There is actually a UGA campus in Tifton, Georgia, and I was discussing applying to that campus, and the type of degree and the path that I've chosen didn't really fit in with that campus quite so much as it did this campus.
Now, I do hope that you are not commuting daily, because that is a little bit of a haul.
Fortunately, no, I am not commuting daily. I did move to Griffin, Georgia, December of 2020.
Okay, well, then let's bring Faye Chapman into the discussion. She being the program director at the Franklin College of Arts and Sciences, but you also help with the Griffin Ambassador Program. Tell us how you got involved in that.
Being one of the co-advisors for the Griffin Ambassador Program is actually one of the most fun parts of my job. The organization was actually founded in spring of 2009 by a colleague from the College of Ag, Dr. Jennifer Williams. When she left, everybody was wondering who was going to take over the organization. I didn't even think about it because it was something I'd never done, and actually it was something I was a little bit almost afraid of doing. It seemed really outside my wheelhouse. But the person who was our director of student affairs at the time came to me and asked me if I would do it. And I said, maybe if I could do it with someone else like you. And I said, but I'm curious. I mean, I have no experience doing this. Why are you asking me to do it? And she said, well, you're the person the students wanted. And needless to say, I was really flattered and honored. I wasn't even sure most of them knew who I was. So that became an adventure. First, I did it with Dr. Sherry King. And then when she took a position in Texas, I did it with the next student affairs person. And then when she was there, she asked if Dr. Marian Fortuna would come on board with me. Dr. Fortuna is a professor in the Terry College of Business. And it has just been such fun to have Dr. Fortuna as a partner, and then to get to know these students over the years. And obviously some of them, like Anna, are mine. They're in the Franklin College. But a lot of them are graduate students. They're pretty much all in the College of Ag. And then a lot of them are from the other schools and colleges on campus. So it's just a wonderful thing for me, because I get to know not just my students, but students in other programs, and get to work with the graduate students and the undergrads. And I get to know them outside of my capacity as an academic advisor or a program coordinator. And that's a lot of fun.
What would you describe as the role of the ambassadors? I mean, Griffin being a smaller campus, we don't get to host as many events as maybe some other larger schools. So, you know, if you could kind of describe what the role of the ambassadors is and what function they serve.
Well, Anna and I actually have a cheat sheet right here. Not that we actually need it, but they are selected. They have to apply. They go through an interview process. And then if we think they are good fits for the organization, we invite them to join. And of course, they could say no. We hope they don't. And the two that we have with us today are actually new. They just joined us this academic year, but that's, of course, because they are new to the campus. So their role is to basically be the official host and goodwill ambassadors for the campus. So that may involve assisting with campus events. It may involve hosting visitors to campus. So, for instance, if the provost or President Moorhead visits campus, or if we have public officials, if we have some sort of event on campus that involves the community. And by the way, we're hoping to get back to that next academic year with some of our conferences that we've had in the past, like Business Day and Psych Day and CJ Day, though they may be reconfigured and renamed a bit. They'll be assisting with those kinds of things as well.
Well, Deanna, being from New Jersey, what attracted you to sign up for the ambassador program?
To be quite honest, I was involved in sort of a similar kind of club in my undergrad. It wasn't exactly the same. I was in our student programming board at my undergrad university, and while we didn't do some of the same functions that the ambassadors currently do, I felt that being an ambassador would be a better way to reconnect with everyone on campus, because the thing about Griffin campus is that it's primarily graduate students, and everyone kind of just hides in their little hole in their own building. And I felt that being an ambassador would be the best way to, like, connect with other people and be more involved, because other than that, I'm just hiding in my office or in my lab.
Well, yeah, I mean, you bring up a terrific point. You are busy with your own research project. How do you find the time to fit the ambassadors into your schedule?
Oh, it's not easy. It's not always easy. I know that things have been, at least for the last 6 weeks for me, is when I was doing the bulk of my research, so things were a little bit harder for me. But usually, because, you know, the majority of us are graduate students, we try to do a lot of our things after, like, normal work hours per se, so to try to make sure that everyone can attend. So you know, everyone, the officers and Ms. Chapman, Dr. Fortuna, they've all been really wonderful about trying to work with all of our graduate school schedules.
Well, the same question for you, Anna. You know, how do you find the time to squeeze in your role as a UGA Griffin ambassador in with your studies?
Similar to what Deanna said, it's not always the easiest thing to do. You'll go straight from the lab into a meeting with the ambassadors. It just has a lot to do with time management. And as a student, time management is always essential, whether you're an ambassador or not. So you have to plan accordingly, always. So the major way that I just have to make time for it, you make time for the things that you care about.
Well, being a bit of a smaller school as the University of Georgia Griffin campus is, a lot of its students are self-admittedly introverts. You know, would both of you, Deanna and you, Anna, would you consider yourself to be introverted and you use this program as to try to put yourself out there? Or are you naturally a little more outgoing and wanting to deal with more than just the students on campus?
I think that I'm definitely more of an introvert, for sure. As I get comfortable around people, I tend to be more extroverted. It's kind of weird, because it's like when I need to, like, go out and do something and I gotta be that presence and I gotta be that face, I can turn on that, like, extrovertness, like, immediately. But, like, normally I tend to keep to myself, and it would be kind of weird if I just went to, like, other labs and was like, hi. So I think that this is a good, like, middle ground to kind of, like you said, become more comfortable. But, yeah.
Anna, I'm going to assume that perhaps you went to Tift County High School.
I was actually homeschooled.
So, yeah, so would you classify yourself as an introvert?
I am very introverted. That is correct.
So, now, why put yourself out there, and why try to don the red coat?
Counter question. Why not? I mean, putting yourself out there is a very important part of becoming a well-rounded person, and you can't hide from other people. You live in a very large world for the rest of your life, and like Deanna said, it can be difficult at times to put yourself in that position, but it's good for you. It's very healthy for you, and I encourage any other introvert to participate in any type of organization that will put them out there and give them the chance to learn how to communicate effectively with others, because it is a very necessary skill.
Well, this is the question that bears answering. How are you dealing, this being your first year in the program, with the totalitarian regime of Lindsay Decker?
Wait a minute. It's the totalitarian regime of Lindsay Decker and Trijana Magar, because they are co-presidents.
Okay, well, I mean, I knew that Lindsay, in meeting her a few weeks back, that she was one of the, I didn't know it was a co-presidency. Yeah. I knew she was at the head. So, you know, what is that like working with your fellow students? And, you know, what kind of organization do you guys have to put together for these events or when guests come to campus?
Lindsay and Srijana are both very effective leaders, and they're very effective communicators. So I think that makes the organization run very smoothly, because being co-presidents, you have, obviously many people would believe sometimes you run into strife. But that has not occurred from what I have seen. They are both very, they're great people to be around. They're very effective at getting our organization involved and with the community and with our campus. And they're very supportive of all of our members. I enjoy working with them.
And Deanna, are you finding a similar experience?
Yes. I mean, Srijana's actually in my lab, so I do actually work with her a lot. But yeah, they've both been really great at coordinating everything, and especially with Shajana now that she's like, she's actually going to be graduating in December, so she's a PhD candidate now. So for her to be working on all her papers and trying to publish, and you know, and she just helped teach me how to use a piece of equipment yesterday. But I think they're both really wonderful at what they do, and I mean, I could never. I think they're both wonderful as presidents.
It might be too soon for either of you to make this determination, but could you see yourself possibly wanting to fill their shoes next year, or at the very least stay with the program as you continue your studies on the campus?
I definitely want to stay an ambassador throughout the entirety of my time here. I actually finished in August next year, so I definitely want to be an ambassador the whole time. I've always gone between whether I want to be an officer or not, because on the one hand, like, when I don't have a lot to do, I can handle it, but because, like, my research takes roughly about 2 months to do, like, those 2 months would be really difficult, so it's kind of like, I'm on the fence about it.
And Anna, do you run into the same difficulty, or is this something that you might aspire to?
I do. I definitely run into the same difficulties. You know, it being a microbiology major, there are a lot of hard or intense classes that must be completed to get your degree. The Griffin campus it's very rigorous. So to ensure that you get the grades needed, sometimes you have to sacrifice time and other things. So to me, it would depend on if I wanted to be any type of officer in the Griffin ambassadors, I would need to thoroughly consider the amount of time that I could dedicate to that position.
And Ms. Faye, you know, you've been with the program for several years. What type of time commitment? I mean, the only time I see the ambassadors is when I attend an event on the campus. And, of course, the ambassadors always stand out by the red coats. Mm-hmm. Number one, before we get to my question, are those custom fitted? Because everybody looks so nice in them. I mean, do y'all just have like a closet full of sizes and say, pick the one that best fits you? Or is this tailor-made? Because everybody looks so nice in them. And number two, you know, what type of time commitment do the students kind of have to put in to be effective in the role?
Well, I wish I could say that those blazers are custom made. That would be very cool if we could go to Savile Row in London and have them made. That would be super neat. But no, we actually order them, and we do try to make sure that everybody has a blazer that is a good fit. We have had occasions in the past where we've ordered blazers, and then they've arrived, and the student put them on, and it looked like a tent. It was so big, or it didn't even begin to, you know, like, come down their arm to the, you know, their wrist. So we've had to return them and reorder. So we do keep a supply. It's not as big as we would like, actually, because you never know what sizes you'll need. It obviously varies a lot. You have really tall people, you have people who aren't so tall, you have men, you have women. So but we do have a supply of them, and I think we just got in the ones that we ordered specifically that we needed to fill in, you know, for the students in this group of ambassadors. With regard to the time commitment,
is that really dependent on the number of events that might be upcoming?
Yes, that's very true. And in some ways, the number of ambassadors, they do have to commit to attending business meetings, which are held every 2 weeks. But then when we have events like new student orientation, they're expected to assist with that. Graduation, unless of course they are graduating, they are expected to assist with that. And then when we get back to having conferences on campus, they'll be expected to help out with things like checking people in when they arrive and just being general hosts throughout the event, you know, directing people to, you know, the restrooms or making sure that they know where they need to go for a session or something like that. We've also been trying to have them more involved in community service events. So, for instance, there's an upcoming stream cleanup event that's being done by, I think, the city of Griffin. And we've spread the word to the ambassadors in hopes that several of them will be able to be involved.
That's a messy job. Don't wear the red coat to that one.
Oh, no. Let's hope not. That would be crazy. We have a spring retreat every year, and in the fall, we take the ambassadors and the members of the Student Advisory Council to Athens for a student leadership conference that is held annually there. And it's open not just to students in the state of Georgia. There are students, leaders there from, I'd say, pretty much throughout the Southeast. At least that was true pre-pandemic. It's still, you know, kind of getting back up to the place it was before the pandemic hit. So we try to keep them busy to some degree, but not ridiculously busy, because we know that they have a lot of commitments. As Anna pointed out, getting a degree from the University of Georgia, whether it's at the Griffin campus, the Athens campus, the Tifton campus, it's a rigorous program of study. And I think especially for the students in the sciences, the time they have to put in an intensive lab class or in a research lab, you know, really cuts into the time they have available to do other things. So we try to make sure that it's a reasonable amount of commitment. But also, like Anna said, things that you care about that are important to you, you make time for. And that's one thing that has really impressed me about this group of students. I know that they are busy and have a lot on their plate, but they have shown up. And that's something that we expect of them, if they're going to be an ambassador.
Is there a set number of ambassadors, or is it just you take the most willing and most qualified candidates?
Our Constitution limits the number, and to be honest, I can't remember what that number is off the top of my head.
15, I believe.
Yeah, I think it's 15. But we try to keep it kind of in line with the size of the student body, and ideally we'd have students from every college and every major on campus, but unfortunately, that's not always the case.
Is there a recruitment process, or do they come to you? Do you come to them, or is it a kind of a meeting in the middle?
We put out ads around campus at the beginning of the fall and the spring semester. We send out announcements to the student listserv. We also send announcements to faculty and encourage them to tell their students and encourage their students to join. We talk about it at new student orientation. We always try to have ambassadors on some sort of panel there so that they can help spread the word as well. And then we also depend on the ambassadors themselves to talk with their classmates and those that they think would be a good fit for the organization, you know, encourage them to get involved and join. So I'm not sure how Anna and Deanna heard about it, but those are the most standard means of getting the word out that we use.
Well, we'll start with Deanna. Deanna, how did you find out about it, and what have you learned about yourself and your ability to mold yourself into a leader in your short time within the program?
Well, again, Shajana is in my lab, so she actually sent an email, not just to me, but everyone in my lab about this, and I decided to take it up just because, again, like, I've been involved in on campus in the past, and it's something I want to do again, especially since, like, working all the time is interesting. But as a leader, I would say, I mean, it's kind of hard to say because I've been in leadership positions before where I've had to talk in front of a group, where I've had to lead people around. I think with quarantine too, because I actually graduated in May of 2020. So I think kind of just I was rusty before, I guess, for lack of a better term, and now I'm like kind of falling back into place. And I think the Griffin Ambassadors has helped me to like come back into that leader that I was before the pandemic.
And the same question to you.
Well, I actually heard about the Griffin Ambassadors from our lovely Dr. Chapman. She is the main advisor for the microbiology department. And when we met for my first advisory meeting, she described it to me and encouraged me to join.
Threatened or encouraged?
What about both? But yeah, she very much so said that she considered me a good fit for the Griffin Ambassadors. And so I definitely began to consider it after she had brought it up. To say that I was not nervous about it would be a lie. Getting involved in any type of on-campus activities has never really been my personality. But I encouraged myself to, again, put myself out there and to at least try, because the worst comes to worst. I just stop. And so far, I've enjoyed it very much.
Have either of you participated or helped in an event so far? I mean, because now that we're into the semester a little bit, what have you done in your role as an ambassador that you've already got under your belt?
Deanna is probably the best person to answer this
question. Okay, Deanna, go ahead.
I would say not in this semester because this semester we've kind of held back for the Student Advisory Council. So they've been in charge of the actual events for students this semester. But last semester, I did propose doing, we called it Twilight Breakfast. It was kind of just basically free food before finals. We had it in December. It was like around dinner time, roughly. And that was a lot of fun organizing. And I think everyone in the ambassadors at the time did a wonderful job in organizing everything. And we got a great turnout. I know this semester, the Student Advisory Council did Taste of Nations. And I know a lot of the ambassadors were actually there. So even though we weren't like running it, we did have like a decent presence there. As far as like other things we do, I know there's been quite a few visits from important members of UGA, and the ambassadors have been there. I know we just had an award ceremony where the ambassadors were present. I know that I actually went to a ribbon cutting for, I forget the name of the shop. It's on, it's right off of Hill Street. There's an ice cream shop that opened last semester. I know that some of us went to a ribbon cutting for that, and there was a business expo at the Kiwanis Fairgrounds that I was at as well. So we're kind of, our events are a little bit all over the place, whether it be on campus or off.
Well, you know, the UGA does an awful lot of recruiting. They've been doing a lot of recruiting fairs lately. Is there thought of using ambassadors as part of that program, or is that something that already takes place?
Well, Anna, I think you were involved when we had a group of students from, I'm trying to think, was it for Georgia Highlands College?
Yes, I
believe visit. So that's another role that they played. We've had students visit from Georgia Highlands College at least twice so far this semester because we have tag agreements with them. And we actually, I think they'll be visiting again later in April. So we'll have ambassadors involved with that, especially our ambassadors who are in the sciences, because these will pretty much be science students that we're hoping will come into our microbiology program because we have a tag agreement with Georgia Highlands with their Associate of Science in Biology that leads into our Bachelor of Science in Microbiology. So, yes, using... Boy, I hate to use that word, using, but having ambassadors assist with events that involve students visiting from other colleges, or even, you know, sometimes we have students who are in middle school and high school come on campus, and we understand that they're a long ways out from being able to come to us, but that's all, you know, the idea of helping to spread the word. So if we, you know, if they are available, we're more than happy to have them join us in their red coats because they look so sharp and people immediately know that they're with UGA. You know, there's no guessing about that.
Well, Deanna, I want to ask you this, and I just want to make sure that I heard you correctly. The Twilight Breakfast, that was kind of your brainchild because, I rarely hear about events on campus until after they've happened. Universally, that event was praised. So, you know, what kind of, that was your creation, what kind of inspired the thought?
Well, it wasn't like a completely original idea. Like, it's something that my undergrad at university did every semester right before finals. Though, because we had on-campus housing, it would be at, like, 10 p.m. So it actually was, like, midnight breakfast, because it would be from, like, 10 to midnight.
Everybody goes to Waffle House.
I know that's not really possible here. So we had to change the time so that people would be able to show up.
And, how many different student groups or, you know, how did you get the student body to participate?
I know, so what we originally were doing is the ambassadors, we were originally going to attempt this on our own, but realistically, we didn't necessarily have, like, the money to back it up. So we actually collaborated with SAC. To get the funding we need, and, you know, they helped gather materials as well, and they were very important to the success of our event as well. So, like, while essentially we're where the idea came from, it was, in terms of executing it, it was a collaborative effort from both us and Zach.
Anna, what in terms of your personality and what you see going forward with the ambassador program, what do you hope to bring to the table?
To the ambassadors?
Yes.
So I'm a firm believer that people from all different backgrounds and all different cultures should communicate with each other. On Griffin campus, a lot of times we end up, and she kind of mentioned this earlier, we separate ourselves out and kind of stay in our little niche. And so I'm actually the only micro major in the ambassadors. I'm the only undergrad science major, and I believe all of the PhD and graduate students are in the College of Ag. So I'm at that point, I am kind of trying to bring that perspective to the table. I work in the laboratories, the food and science laboratories, whereas they work more with the agriculture, horticulture laboratories. So I bring that perspective from my side of the table, if you will. So we don't forget there are micro department is very small. So sometimes it's easy to kind of overlook it and overlook its thoughts. But working in the labs, I meet so many different people, and I get to kind of represent them and the ambassadors and their thoughts and their ideas.
Faye, you had mentioned that, you know, it is a goal. It's not a necessity, but it is a goal to try to get a student from all the schools involved in the ambassador program. Is that why? So that you get unique perspectives from each of the institutions?
I think it's very important. And there have been years when we have had ambassadors from every single college and every single major on campus. Then there have been years when it's been kind of one-sided. You know, we've had a lot more from one particular college or one particular major. And that was something that when we were bigger, we tried to address through the selection process. So, for instance, if we already had, let's say we already had three or four ambassadors who were biological science majors in the College of Ag, and then we had several more apply to come into the ambassadors. If we had other folks who had also applied who were, say, micro majors or other majors that were underrepresented or not represented at all in the ambassadors, we would give priority to bringing some of those folks in just because we felt that it was important, you know, to kind of spread the love, but also to have students from those different colleges represented. Because as Anna pointed out, I think it's kind of easy sometimes if all you see is everybody's in the Terry College business, you just kind of forget that there are other colleges on campus, or, you know, they're only undergrads. You forget, hey, they're grad students on this campus, and we don't want to forget any of the parties involved.
Not that any degree attained on the UGA Griffin campus or the University of Georgia as a whole is an easy process, because it's certainly, you know, anything but. But I was surprised to learn from Deanna Biggio that most of the ambassadors are either graduate or PhD candidate students. You know, Deanna, I got to ask, you know, and I know this has been asked and answered, but could you reiterate for our listeners how you find the time to balance your studies with that? And what is the current status of your research? What are you working on?
For me, my research is actually, I'm working in cold hardiness and freeze protection in peaches, which, given that we had a frost about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I've been pretty busy. What I'm doing is I'm testing a new material, nanocellulose. It's a biomaterial that can be created from plants, essentially, so it's a sustainable material. And what I'm trying to do is see that if we were to spray them on peach trees that are dormant, or spray before a freeze occurs, would this material be able to protect the peach buds and the peach tree in general from freeze damage? And given that our peach buds are coming out of dormancy now, especially with some cultivars getting ready for harvest soon, I've been very busy just analyzing all my data. And like I said, there was a freeze 2 weeks ago, so we were out in the field just going out spraying all our peach trees. I actually just finished collecting my data for that on Monday. So I'm out in the field and in the lab. But I would say, back to making time for this, because because a lot of us are busy, and I mean this extends to our undergrads as well. I think with grad and PhD students, it can be more unpredictable, especially since you can't predict the weather to a certain extent. A lot of the things we do tend to be after school, or, you know, we try to work around everyone's schedules. We try to make everything work, and it can be a little bit difficult at times, but we always do things that work with everyone's schedule. We're constantly doing, like, votes and tallies, and, you know, if worst comes to worst, we just do everything after school. So it's very much a collaborative effort from everyone to try to line up everyone's calendars.
Is it any coincidence that you're dealing with cold weather and peaches and you're from New Jersey? Is that just a happy accident?
It's interesting. It's definitely not what I imagined I'd be working on when I originally decided to go into horticulture, but it's been a very fun experience. I think I've learned a lot. I guess I've learned a lot specifically about peaches, as my research would entail, but it's been really interesting. I would like to see how it applies, like, in New Jersey, because, you know, it's a lot warmer down here than it is at home. So it would be interesting to try and apply that research back up in the Northeast.
Oh, Anna Lawson, where are you in your studies?
So I am set to graduate somewhere around probably December of next year. Currently, I am doing something called directed research, which is not something a lot of campuses in Georgia actually offer. So the University of Georgia, for your microbiology majors and quite a few of your other science-based majors in the Franklin College of Arts and Sciences, you have to take a semester of applicable research or experimental learning. So you're in the lab and you are participating in research. You are doing the scientific process. It has been a lot of fun, and I'm learning a lot. You get to meet a lot of very interesting people, very intelligent people. My professor who is guiding me in my directed research for my project, her name is Dr. Ortega. She is works mainly with parasites. She's a very intelligent woman, and I highly encourage any student who is looking into the microbiology degree at even just the Griffin campus or even the Athens campus to look into doing their research in the food and sciences laboratories, because you learn a lot, and it is just a really great opportunity, especially if you want to go into a graduate program or a PhD program. It really prepares you for that environment.
I mean this as a compliment, so please do not take offense to this, but you have not considering a career in radio, are you? Because you have the quintessential NPR voice.
You know, so I actually used to work at a Starbucks, and I was told that quite often through the drive-thru. So I do take that as a compliment.
I mean, I'll be out of a job here, and, you know, I wouldn't know what to do with myself otherwise. Oh, now, what do you want to do? You want to go into the neurosciences.
That is correct.
But in terms of profession, have you thought about where that might lead? I mean, in Anna Lawson's perfect world, what would you like to embark on as a career?
Preferably research. So, like I said, I want to work with pediatric neurological disorders, and particular ones that do not occur very often in the population. So my older sister has quite a few health issues, and one of the issues she has is called dysautonomia, and it's similar to like a muscle contraction disease, and it'll cause her muscles to contract randomly and very painfully, and it scared her when she was younger. So she's had a lot of just health issues that's really inspired me to go into this field. But unfortunately, in her case, there's not a lot of research done on these abnormal neurological disorders, particularly pertaining to nerves, and less so the brain, spinal nerves, just the nerves throughout the body. And that really piques my interest. For my sister's sake, to help any of these children, you know, it's very scary to be 6 years old and to be trapped inside your own body and unable to do anything, and nobody can help you. And it's even more terrifying as a parent. And so for me, I think it would be a very fascinating course of work and study for me to work with doctors and PhD people, students and PhD professors around the world, to just kind of figure out some of these abnormal, almost bizarre disorders that are affecting children every day that we don't really hear about.
Well, you said that you know, work in the food industry, the food research on the UGA Griffin campus. Without giving away trade secrets, if you can, what are you working on presently? I mean, if you're working on a new product for a company, and I understand you can't really disclose.
Mostly what I'm working on currently is I'm looking at data collected from different rivers in the United States, and I'm checking for parasitic load. It basically means collecting samples from the banks of the river and from the water source itself. Of course, these parasites are often gastrointestinal parasites, and they are got put into the water source oftentimes by animal contamination who also drink from these water sources. And so it is very important to my professor, Dr. Inez Ortega, and just to food safety in general, that these water sources are monitored for this parasitic load, because these parasites are, these are human parasites. They can get into the human digestive tract, and they can harm the human digestive tract. So it is, it's a very interesting course of study to see the data that we're seeing. It's encouraging because it's, you know, our water is mostly healthy for anybody worried, but it's very important, and it's very interesting.
Well, Deanna Biggio, we've got to ask you the same question. In your perfect world, what career field would you enter into, and how is your experience on the UGA Griffin campus getting you to where you want to be?
Honestly, it's a pretty hard question, because while I like what I'm doing, I don't know if I want to work in freeze damage and dormancy. Like, I very much could, because I'll have, like, the expertise for it by the time I'm finished. But I think the most valuable thing I'm getting here is not just, like, the research in my own field in freeze damage, but also, like, the other skills I'm learning. Like, I do a lot of field work as per our lab, because we do have a peach orchard, so I do a lot of field work. I've done pruning, grafting, fertilizing soil samples, and I think not just with my specific work, but with all those like general skills too, I think they make me a more well-rounded individual in order to look for a job. I don't know if I'd work in like with peaches in the future. I also know that I like vertical gardens and hydroponics and aeroponics. That's not what I study, but it is something I'm interested in too, so I could go that way. Or I'm also someone who cares a lot about education, especially in the K-12 level. So, like, I could do a 180 and become, like, a STEM, like, educator or be involved in educational outreach. So there's, like, a lot of things I'd like to do, but it's kind of something that I won't know until the time comes, essentially.
Well, both of you being college students, and we say this on the program all the time, college is not always the place where you determine what it is you want to do. Sometimes it's where you find out what you don't want to do. Have you found things, you know, in your academic experience that you kind of steer away from now based on your prior experience?
Absolutely. I originally went to school. At first, I went to be a physical therapist, and then I did an internship over the summer after my first year of undergrad, and I was like, okay, I don't want to do this. And then I started thinking about going to medical school, but then I was like, well, I started taking medical classes and looking into what the job was like, and this, while the knowledge was very interesting, it wasn't a profession I wanted to work in either. It's just, after having that one golden opportunity from my advisor to work in a greenhouse, there's finally something that, like, actually made sense to me. Because before that, I wasn't even sure what I was going to do with a biology degree. There were so many things that, like, after taking courses or having work experience, I just kept saying no to. So I think in that way, working in the greenhouse in undergrad really, like, put me on a path
Well, see, now I like stories like that. But Anna, does the same thing apply to you? I mean, you seem pretty determined that you know where it is you want to be. It's just a question of getting there. But have there been experiences that you've had at UGA or even in earning your associate's degree where you kind of discovered about yourself, maybe this part of it's not for me?
So, yes, actually. When I've always been set on being an MD, even when I was younger. My mother is a nurse, and having grown up with a nurse as a mom, I was very dead set against being a nurse. But I was still interested in healthcare. So I decided that I would become an MD. So I went through my college experience. You know, you do your core work, and I was 100% dead set against English. So sorry, Dr. Chapman. But the science courses have always drawn my interest. In particular, the scientific method parts of them. So I came to UGA. I was still mostly considering just an MD program, but the more I got involved in research, the more I realized that given what I have always really wanted to do, becoming an MD PhD suits my interests much better than being just an MD.
Well, yeah, the MD, I mean, it's great. You know, you certainly seem to have the aptitude for it. Let's just say that just on first blush. But it is such a time-consuming process. I mean, it takes so many years to get it done. I mean, you're looking at 6 additional years. You know, can you, you know, patiently fit that into your schedule for your future goals?
Yes, and doing a PhD program actually adds 4 to 5 years to that. But the way that I look at education and the way my own mother taught me to look at education is not just going to school. Education is a full-time commitment. It is a job. And it is not something to look at as painful. It's just something, you know, if you can't look at it as something to look forward to, at least look at it as a job. You know, you're constantly, schoolwork is still a job. You put forth a lot of effort. It does take a lot of patience to get to where you're going. But more often than not, that patience does pay off. And it is the case with medical school. Your patience pays off. You go through medical school. You enter residency. Perhaps you get a fellowship. And you do eventually get to where you want to be. And very many people are happy with that. For me, because I look at my education more so as just an occupation and less so just going to school.
It's not a means to an end for
exactly.
you.
Exactly. It's the process. Enjoy the process, experience it as it is, and learn what you can while you're there.
Well, Deanna, I've always wanted to ask a research student this, to me, I have a friend who is a nuclear doctor who tells me all the time that a crappy researcher will go into a project with preconceived notions of how your study is going to end. How do you resist drawing or jumping to conclusions? I'm one of the types that I jump to conclusions. I get 2 or 3, you know, points of evidence and say, okay, there it is. How do you resist that temptation in your own research?
I would say for my research it is a lot easier in that what I'm doing, there's currently only one research paper to date that has been published on using nanocellulose for freeze protection. So what I'm doing is actually, like, very, very new. So it is, like, basically it's unknown what we're doing. So it's kind of hard to draw preconceived notions when, like, there's really almost no evidence to, like, back up what you're doing. And I think the other thing is, too, is that I started last May in 2021. I know that my project actually had, like, a kind of a test run right before I came, and the results from that test run are pretty much inconclusive, so we don't even have, like, a good basis to go off of anyway. So I think it's a lot easier for me to not draw conclusions because it's just, so much is up in the air right now. We're just hoping to find something, but our past experience shows us that our data might be inconclusive, so I think it's especially helpful to have that in order to keep an open mind.
I think on top of that, science has a way of humbling you. You come into your studies with your preconceived notions and your biases, and you look at your data, and you just get slapped across the face. Because in the real world, nothing ever goes how you want it to or how you expect it to. And so you take first glance and you're like, oh, this is definitely how it's going to turn out. And it never, ever, ever does. And then it adds on a million questions. And that is the scientific process. Like, you answer one question and it creates 1,000 more. So that's one of the fun things about doing any type of research, I believe, is just how complicated it is.
Well, Ms. Faye, us being a little more mature in years than our students, what I think is really cool that both of them have in mind is that they somewhat have, if their A1 career doesn't necessarily work out, that they have at least something in mind as a backup plan. As a program director and who counsels these students, do you kind of encourage that in them, that, you know, if you don't do this, then maybe you might want to look in this avenue, just to kind of keep as many avenues open for the student body as you can?
I would always encourage a student to have a plan A, a plan B, a plan C, maybe a plan D, because you never know what life is going to throw at you. And your interests change, and sometimes things don't work out, don't go the way you think they're going to go for whatever reason. And I've seen students kind of have to recenter and refocus, sometimes because of situations beyond their control. And I'm happy to say that by and large, most of them have landed in places where they feel really good about what they're doing. And Anna was talking about schooling and your studies, you know, as an occupation, as a job, as being a means to an end. And I think that's in some ways a very good way to look at it. But I think, unfortunately, some people see education only as that. It's a means to get to some goal. And in some cases, it's, you know, money or status or position. And oddly enough, having been raised by somebody with an eighth grade education, my dad had to drop out of school in eighth grade to work in the fields, people might have thought that he would have seen an education that way, but I'm happy to say that he always instilled in me that an education was a thing of value in and of itself. You know, even if I never, quote, put it to use, that it was there as something of great value for me to always have. And I think his belief was also that you always put what you learn to use, maybe not in a way that people directly see, maybe not in a job. I'm sorry to hear that Anna didn't like English. This is really disturbing me.
Well, I'll pick up the slack. I was an English major.
Yeah, me
much,
too.
Much to the surprise of the listeners, I was an English major. So, you know, the importance of a backup plan is key, because you never know what path life is going to take you down. Where do the students that come through the Franklin College Arts and Sciences, what are some of the avenues and some of the career fields that they've landed in that might not necessarily be associated with this field in general?
For micro, that's kind of a hard thing to answer, because so many of them have kind of wound up where you would maybe think they would be. You know, they've gone into healthcare fields, like they've become MDs, they've become physician assistants, they've become physical therapists, they've become veterinarians. I've had two who've gone through Emory's Master of Medical Science and become anesthetist, and actually I have another who was just accepted and will be starting in the fall. And then some of them have taken jobs with companies. I'm trying to think. One of them was the head of the microbiology lab for Speed Labs. It's a small lab in the metro Atlanta area. And she's since been lured away to another company. But she talked about how much she loved her work, because she felt like what she does, still does, is helping make sure that all of us are safe, you know, testing products to make sure that when I pick up this lotion and put it on my skin, that I'm not going to have some horrible thing happen to me, you know, that it's going to be a safe product. So she does a lot of that kind of work. Some of my students have gone on and got masters in public health. One of them actually works with this institute out at the University of Washington that has provided a lot of data during the pandemic. Probably the most unusual one is one of my microbiology graduates. I think for a long time she thought she was going to do a master's in public health and decided that wasn't something she really wanted to pursue, but she's always had an interest in health and fitness. So she actually is now part owner of a fitness center up in somewhere, I think, North Metro Atlanta, and has clients that she works with, I think probably more as a personal trainer. So that's one that's kind of taken a route that may have surprised her as well as me, just kind of based on conversations I had with her when she was in the program. So it's often interesting, you know, from my perspective as someone, you know, who works with them while they're here, to hear from them, you know, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years later, and to see where they are and what they're doing. And I'm happy to say that by and large, all of them are telling me they're doing something that is not just a job. It's something that gives them joy.
Well, getting back to the importance of education and the, some of the points that Anna was making, and Deanna has made them as well. Have you ever, and you're one of the, you are, if I'm not mistaken, the longest tenured employee on the UGA Griffin campus. You've been with the university longer than anyone who's currently there.
That may be the case. I've been with UGA for a little over 41 years now.
Yeah, so you have extensive experience. Have you ever had a student come to you and say that they were not proud to have gotten their degree?
No, that has never happened.
See, I mean,
to
so,
be honest.
I mean, you know, again, getting back to the means to an end, I don't want students to consider UGA Griffin just because you want to get a degree.
Right.
It better be something that it opens up so many avenues. And you know, I'm the, being a South Carolina grad and a Georgia Tech fan, I am the exact antithesis of what the University of Georgia represents. But listen, you're talking about the flagship institution for the entire state, mm-hmm. and one of the leading in the country in so many different fields. So, you know, what you attain on the UGA Griffin campus will open so many pathways in the career that you want. I mean, have you found that to be the case, particularly over the last, 12, 15 years that the school has actually been open?
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely true. And part of it has to do with the fact that so many of the professors have contacts literally all over the world, you know, especially the scientists, because they have collaborators, you know, with universities in other countries. They have projects that they work on with people who work in various government agencies. So, you know, if you're looking to go somewhere, they can often help you figure out a way to make a contact that can help you at least get your foot in the door, not to guarantee you a position, but to get you that interview, especially if you've been working in their lab and done a really good job for them. The folks that they're talking to on the other end of the phone, you know, if one of our professors says something really good about a student, they're going to know, if that student can cut it in so-and-so's lab, they can probably cut it on my research team.
Now, Deanna, and I'm going to ask you the same question, Anna. How wonderful has it been for you, and maybe I'm picking the wrong word there, but your relationship with your professors, how vital has that been to your studies, and, you know, how integral is their participation in your studies?
It's been very interesting, to put it that way. I think there is a lot of difference going from undergrad to grad, especially since I think as an undergrad, I only met with my academic advisor to quite literally just pick my classes for the next semester. I had very little involvement with my advisor previously, so I think having so much involvement with my advisor now is like definitely something I'm not used to. It's been a very interesting experience, especially since there is while there is structure in that, you're doing your research and there's certain things you have to do. There's a lot of, I guess for lack of a better term, it's a lot more chaotic, I think. Especially since, I work outside, I work in the field, a lot of that can be very unpredictable, and when it comes to collecting data, because we work, in our lab, we work with commercial peach farmers as well, and there is certain things that they do for us as well. I work with, Pearson Farms specifically for my research, and they've been wonderful, but I think there's more, there's got to be a better word than chaotic, but I think things are a little bit more crazy as a grad student than as an undergrad, and it's been interesting navigating and making everything work. I'm still here, and I don't intend on going anywhere, that's for sure. It's just been an interesting, adjustment from previous experience.
Anna, the same question for you. How important has the role of your professors been in helping you obtain what you're doing now at UGA Griffin?
Critical. So I think kind of building a bit off of what Deanna said, when you work in a research lab, and I am an undergrad student and she's a grad student, but there is a certain level of independence that is expected of you. And I think that does contribute a bit to that, what she called chaotic nature. It's a lot more of, you know, here's what you do, figure out a way to do it. Sometimes you learn, and you learn quickly, or you don't learn at all. And it is very, again, humbling experience to be around these professors, because they hold you to a very high standard. They hold their undergrad students to the same standard they hold their graduate students. And so to me, though, that is a humongous learning experience. And it is very indicative of what anyone will encounter when they actually enter the field, the research field, whether at the CDC or at smaller research facilities. You do have to have that level of independence, and it does contribute to that chaotic nature, but it also goes to show how much your professors are preparing you, and they're taking the time to prepare you. They don't do it all the time without thought, and they still are there if you have questions. They are always prepared to help you when you ask for help, but sometimes they will try and let you figure it out on your own, because overall that is what education is. It is learning, and it is growing as a person, as a human being, and in our case, it is growing as a researcher. So I believe that is a very important role that a lot of people don't think about whenever they enter the research field. Now, for my undergrad professors, they're just great in every way, and I think, too, whenever you're an undergrad, you're professors, and you have a lot more of an intimate relationship, for, I guess, lack of a better word, you especially at UGA Griffin, when there's maybe three or four people in the class, one professor. If you have a question, the professor has a time to stop what they're doing and answer it and make sure that you understand what it is that they're teaching, so that you not only are memorizing it, but you're grasping the concept. And that is what carries you through your studies and prepares you for, you know, tests for law school, for the MCAT. These professors are out there, and they're willing to help you and actively prepare you for this. My professors are still contacted, just like Dr. Chatman, by their students from years ago, just because of how close that relationship was. And we really care for each other. And your professors at UGA Griffin very much care for you very much.
Well, Elizabeth Laney will skin me this week. I have let time get away without getting her announcements in. Sorry about that, Liz. We'll get you next week, I promise. But it's been a pleasure to have our guest today and filling us in on the UGA Griffin Ambassadors Program. We've been joined remotely today by Deanna Biggio, who is a graduate student in horticulture on the UGA Griffin campus. Anna Lawson, a future NPR superstar who is going after her microbiology major at UGA Griffin. And by Faye Chapman, the program director at the Franklin College of Arts and Sciences. Ladies, thank you so very much for your time, and Anna, Deanna, particularly to you, for taking time to step away from your research to join us this morning. It's been a pleasure having you all.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
And we hope that you will make your plans right now to join us 167 hours from this very moment for the next installment of the University of Georgia Griffin Campus News.